Welcome back to the KUNM Collins Show. I'm Kathleen Saba. We're talking about immigration policy. I'm joined by Ingrid Ordonez and Rachel Lazar of El Centro de Igualdad y Derechos and by attorney Eva Eitzen with the New Mexico Immigrant Law Center. And Rachel, you wanted to add something to our conversation that we were just having about scams and the community being taken advantage of. What might you say to members of the community, please?
Well, actually, I mean, it was in a little bit in a different direction about the steps that we need to be taking here in New Mexico and across the nation to ensure proper implementation. And absolutely, there are amazing information campaigns going on across the state, across the nation, working, and folks are working really hard to make sure that the community is not taking advantage of in terms of fraud. But simultaneously, we need to remember that that the president's executive actions are under attack. And that, unfortunately, we're seeing from a new Congress a lot of what we saw from an old Congress, a Congress that has had the ability and continuously blocked the passage of comprehensive immigration reform. Kathleen, you brought up a series of lawsuits that have been filed. What we're seeing are frivolous lawsuits coming out of many of the states. And what we're also seeing is, a new Congress is in session right now, and we are already seeing legislation that instead of looking forward, instead of saying, you know, the Republicans now have control of both the House and the Senate, instead of looking forward and saying, what are we going to do with 11 million undocumented immigrants, workers, families in this country? And what we're actually seeing is the introduction of legislation to completely undermine, right, and make millions of people again vulnerable to deportation, to reinstitute policies that fomented racial profiling. And so it's disappointing. Indicators are that this new Republican-controlled Congress might be a lot like the old. And so one of the things we need to be doing as a community is really pushing our congressional delegates, looking at votes, for example, from Congressman Steve Pierce. He has supported actually stopping, ending programs like DACA, making 500,000 young people again vulnerable to deportation. And so I think as a nation, we can do better than this. And looking forward, not just looking back, but looking forward as a community, we really need to be pushing Washington to do the right thing, to pass something that's comprehensive, something that's commonsensical, so and pragmatic, and that works for our communities instead of only focusing on these fear tactics and fear mongering. And again, when you take the politics away from this, when you talk about going after the Obama administration, you're actually going after young people like Ingrid. This is an attack on families.
That's the personal face on things. In the meantime, agencies are gearing up for things to begin happening in February. Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's David from Albuquerque. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Thank you for joining our conversation.
Yeah, I listened to the program. Okay, I'll make this as quick as possible. Okay, my uncle, Mateo, he came over. Well, he's from Tampico. He's deceased now, Mexico, as an undocumented. They call them back in the 20s and 30s, they call them Mojados, whatever, you know. And I'll tell you what, he injured his foot as a teenager in a railroad car. He come over in a railroad car in the coupling, and he injured his foot badly. And some people and some gringos in Breckenridge, Texas, befriended him. And he completed high school in Breckenridge. I've got his high school record. And he went on to the university. It was over in Enid, Oklahoma. It was over there he went, and he married my mom's sister. I'll tell you what, he became a naturalized citizen. I don't know how that worked, because the people probably in Breckenridge had some political juice or something, you know what I mean? Whatever. And ended up in Kansas City, and he became a minister is what he became. And he took over the first Mexican-American church from somebody else in than I've been. I'm a registered voter now, but it took me many years to become one.
Well, David, and do you believe that this is an opportunity more people ought to have to be able to become citizens, to be taxpayers, to be
That's right. I believe that.
Okay.
I believe that, yeah.
All right. Well, David, thank you for calling and sharing your story with us this morning. Let's go to our next caller. It's Martin of Santa Fe. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning. I have a fair amount of experience with immigrants. I own an insurance agency in Santa Fe, and in having an agency, I have come to find out that there's a lot of people who come, want to be good citizens, have no tickets, no accidents, very much want to be part of America. But you asked a question earlier, how do you propose changing immigration law? But nobody seemed to give an answer. My take on that is present immigration law favors only highly educated, typically Western culture individuals who want to move to the United States to be scientists, engineers, or whatever. When we do find these individuals and they come from third world countries, yes, we allow them in. But what is occurring by doing that is that we are stealing the best from the third world countries. They are becoming Americans. They no longer help develop their countries. And yet we need a full range of immigrants. We do not need just highly skilled immigrants. We also need immigrants to fill the vacancies in our construction trades, as janitorial services, as workers in our fast food restaurants. We need a broad range of immigrants, which our present immigration law does not address.
All right, Martin.
Yes.
Yeah, stay on the line, if you would, please, and let's get some comment. Eva, you want to begin?
Sure, I'll be happy to. I do think that when we're talking about immigration, the focus from some individuals is often too much on highly skilled workers. Of course, we do want some highly skilled workers, but we do also want people who can wait tables and help our elderly people who need help, nurses, all sorts of different things. And so it is important to have a wide variety of people coming. And the main way that our immigration system does that right now is through the family-based immigration system, where people who have a family member, in theory, are able to bring their close family members to the United States. Unfortunately, that system is very broken. I think about one of my clients who her father petitioned for her in 1997. And she is still waiting for her permanent residence. Her father's a lawful permanent resident, petitioned for her more than 17 years ago, and she's still waiting. And so one thing that I would really like to see as any part of any comprehensive immigration reform would be a real reform of the family immigration system so that enough visas are given to that process so you don't have absurd wait times of 20, 25 years in order to come to the United States.
Well, and it would seem to be only common sense that people, being people, can be more productive and settled when their family members are with them and they don't have fear or concern about them in another location.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you don't have children in school wondering, is mommy or daddy going to be there to pick me up, or are they going to be deported while I'm at school today?
Rachel, you want to tag on to this conversation at all, or you don't need to? Let me move to Ingrid here. Ingrid, did you have any concern about coming forward either today or at another time?
Definitely. My mom used to pick me up every day from Harrison Middle School when I was in Harrison Middle School. And I remember thinking to myself, like, is my mom there? Like, I would always look out for her. And then whenever she was, like, even 5 minutes late, I would be worried and everything. Because she would always tell me, like, you need to take care of yourself. You need to, like, cuídate, mija. You know, like, she would always tell me that in the mornings, be like, God bless you, mija, today. I don't know if I'm going to be home today, but I love you, and just take care of yourself and continue fighting for what you want. Continue fighting for accomplishing your dreams. So it was a fear. It's definitely a fear still now. And, yeah. horrible.
Well, let's go ahead and bring in our last caller of the day. Let's bring Pablo in. If you have something brief, that would be great. Pablo from Albuquerque. Good morning, Pablo.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. Go right ahead.
So my question or comment would be, if can undocumented immigrants be considered a sort of new slaves because of the limited range of opportunities as in labor and education they can perform while being undocumented, that they otherwise, if they would be legal residents or citizens, they would be able to perform the full range of their opportunities?
Okay, let's get some comment from someone on our panel here. Thanks so much for calling this morning, Pablo. Rachel.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we know that one of the impacts of the broken immigration system is a high level of exploitation in the workplace, and that those folks who are going to qualify for DACA and DAPA, right, that is actually should raise not only working conditions for those workers, but for all workers. And so it's really a win-win. When we talk about the importance of passing comprehensive immigration reform, that's not only important for immigrant workers, that's absolutely important for native-born workers as well. And it should raise conditions and raise wages for all workers in the country. And so, again, it's something that not only benefits immigrant workers and families, but it will benefit all workers.
Let's go ahead and start to wrap up this program a little bit. And so, Eva, let's start with you. We have links to Listo Nuevo México, listonm.org. We've got links to organizations. We know that I do want to mention I was contacted by Somos Un Pueblo Unido, and they have meetings coming up in Santa Fe as well, and Española, and we have some links to that. What's the best thing that people can be doing right now to prepare themselves?
If someone thinks they may be eligible for relief, they should be looking for legal fairs to go to learn more details about the program. They should be saving their money for the application fee.
Do we know approximately?
It's going to be $465. And when you have several family members who are applying, that can become very expensive. They should be getting their old tax records or utility bills, leases, all those sorts of documents that show that they have been living here for the last 5 years. Those are the most important first steps to getting ready to apply for relief.
And is that information on the listonm.org site?
It is. It is.
Okay. And Rachel, just in closing, what do you want to say to people?
Absolutely. And so there are also, we need to be working together as a community to ensure that we protect the gains that we have fought very hard for, immigrant communities have fought very hard for, in addition to really pushing Congress and Washington to do the right thing. It's what our country needs and deserves. We're talking again about our New Mexico neighbors and people that we work with and pray with. And folks that deserve to be treated with dignity, respect, and compassion, and our immigration laws need to reflect that.
And Ingrid, thanks so much for sharing your story today, and hopefully some of your peers were listening and gained some confidence and hope from your strength here. Thank you so much.
It was an honor.
Thanks to our guests, Rachel Lazar and Ingrid Ordóñez of El Centro de Igualdad y Derechos and Eva Eitzen of the New Mexico Immigrant Law Center. You can find a podcast of this and other KUNM call-in shows online at KUNM.org. Jefferson White engineered the show today. Kaveh Movahed is our assistant producer. Michael Hess handled our phones today. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. I'm Kathleen Sabo. This is the KUNM Call-In Show on 89.9 KUNM, broadcasting live from the University of New Mexico.